This tape is a recitation from the book The Anthinium by the Unarian moderator, Ernest L. Norman. An angel's way. How oft it is that high above, in some bright lighted sky, an angel's caught by planets rushing by, an earthly plate that spins a web of prayers, that reaches out and holds him fast, and there within its earthly coils he's born again and lives within a body made of flesh. And comes and goes as all men do, and called by all of them as such as they, yet there remains within his heart and mind an angel's way, and in his hand an angel's touch. And so he comes and goes among all men who see him not, nor of the angel's ways or touch. Yet as he comes, he brings a smile, a warmer place, a better way. And as he goes, he leaves behind a part of all these angels' things that lead these men from out their murk and mire. A magic light that's seen by none, yet changes all that's dark to light. For such is this, an angel's way. And as he finds his way back there among the stars and in the brightened realms so far removed from earth, his face will linger long in memory. His blessing thus bestowed to those create an effigy of him that lives with light and breathes the scented breath from heaven. And so he thus remains in hearts and minds as angels must, until it is the time the earth will then ensnare within its web another angel. Shall draw the bow of truth and shoot illumined shafts of light into the nether darkness of the material worlds. And there shall be other shafts of light which will spring the locks upon the dungeon floors of despair, want, and death. And from these and thousand other dungeons we shall loose the multitudes imprisoned there. into the light of a newborn day. And there shall be other shafts of light, too, from the bowl of truth, which will slay the dragons of hate, greed, lust, and avarice. For when we have done all these things and loosed all of our shafts of light, then we can return to the lodge of the masters, and as successful huntsmen in the cause of truth, we can hang our bow in the hall of emancipation and take in its place the lute of knowledge and the harp of truth. And from these strings pluck immortal melodies. That shall add to the cadence of eternal creation. The rhythmic song of the ageless infinite universe shall be heard in unison with our melodies. Yea, and there will be others, countless and without number, who are likewise plucking immortal melodies from their harp of wisdom, a grand and unified symphony which rises and swells with the heartbeat of the infinite Creator. Of life. The avatars of old, both sung and unsung warriors of truth, who have hung their swords and shields and bucklers in the halls of antiquity, and those who have perished on the cross of martyrdom, yea, some have risen to speak again in another voice, in different tongues. For in crossing the barren deserts of materialism, holding one small grain of truth beneath their tongues, they thirsteth not, and their vessel of life is borne upon many seas, wafted by many strange winds. Yes, the clatter of nations in their ears, the clanking swords from conquering legions of some far-gone civilization may echo through their minds. The waters of a thousand waterfalls are mingled with the drops of dew, and stormy skies o'er many lands in many climes. voice of wisdom. Doth the wave say, as it lifteth its crest and casteth itself upon the sand, see, I am mightier than he who preceded me. Is not my roar greater than all others? Doth the winds of heaven, which bloweth about the earth, say unto the trees, see, am I not mightier than other winds? Do I not bend thee more fiercely? Nay, none of these things speak thusly, nor are none mightier than the last. Nor canst each day's blessing or sorrows be counted as more or less than all other days. Neither is the sunshine brighter, nor do the clouds cast blacker shadows than all other days. Yet it is that only man, among all the things of heaven and earth, saith unto himself and crieth aloud that he is mightier than his neighbor, and that his deeds are greater than all others. Yea, even the plowman in the field saith unto himself that there is none in the land who can plow so straight a furrow. Or of the smithy who worketh at the forge saith also that my steel is the hardest in all the world. Or the carpenter who buildeth the ship crieth aloud and saith, see, is she not likened unto the gull? Has there ever been a ship so fair? And could it be that of the infant who droppeth his swaddling cloth and standeth for the first time upon his newborn legs, looketh about him and feels as the conquering emperor, and that soon he is lord of all which he surveys? And as he saith of these things, and of his mightiness, and of us each day, yet he liveth unto another day, when he is mightier than the last. For thus it is, and that he must grow, and in each newfound achievement is found the inspiration for the morrow's conquest. And as he grows, he cometh unto the time when he is like the mountain which speaketh not in no voice, but endureth forever, and that he becomes as the bowl of heaven, which containeth all of the stars. More silent yet than all eternity is the voice of wisdom. For none hath heard the voice of eternity, but liveth unto the day when it is uttered. Yea, even eternity is the mother of all wisdom. For eternity beginneth the coming and going, and naught can be said that it shall ever cease. For in eternity there lieth the answer to all things, and all wisdom is sufficient unto it. Thus it is that until he achieveth of this wisdom, and that he heareth the voice of eternity, that he beateth upon the drums of his own making. For having not the wisdom, nor hearing not the eternal voice, he liketh not the silence. For the silence is heavier yet than that of the tomb, wherein he buries all of his earthly desires. Even all of the things which man created endureth only unto the years and unto time. Yet it is that the wisdom which he garners from the making of all things endureth unto eternity, wherein through such wisdom he heareth its voice. Vilify ye not. Ye who are mortals, lend thine ear. For surely as thou hast sprung from the earth, so hast thou vilified thy mother in thy lusts. Ye have builded temples and adorned them with false gods. Yea, even these gods have vilified the heavens with thine expectancies. Yet it is, each of ye containeth a germ of truth, and if watered by time, will surely rise and displace these false gods. For surely, if they liveth, they liveth only in thy mind's eye, an eye blinded not by light, but by mire. Then it is thy tears of remorse will, in their time, washeth away the mire, and thou wilt seest the light, but not blinded. Treasures in heaven. It hath been spoken that ye gather not treasures on earth, but rather treasures in heaven. Yet it is that there are many who saith that they believeth thus, and they crieth out to him who uttered these words, mingling their tears with their prayers and pleas for mercy. And there is much of this on the day called the Sabbath. Yet it is that they who believeth and crieth the loudest now spendeth each day until the next Sabbath, collecting more of these worldly treasures. And while they worship him on the Sabbath, yet it is that they spendeth their days, which are six in number, worshipping at the altar of the golden calf. And what manner of hypocrisy is this? Is it that man should crieth aloud unto his God one day of the seven, or that he should worship many gods, the god of avarice, of hate, of carnal lusts, of jealousy and envy and of greed? Yea, all of these and even more filleth his every hour. Yea, even the hour which he may be praying aloud unto the one God. And ye have asked, what manner of treasure is it that is to be found in heaven, if none of these earthly desires are not found there? And does the suckling lamb long for the green grasses which it has not yet tasted? Does the fledgling of the eagle knoweth of the winds of heaven? Would it be that all things cometh unto the time and place of which they knoweth not? Yea, verily, this is not so. For all things must come unto the time and unto the place when it has become a part of that place and conceiveth of it within thy mind's eye. Just so of the things of heaven. For if ye know not of all the things of the flesh, and that ye forgetteth of yesterday, or knoweth not of tomorrow, how then can it be thy mind's eye can behold the things of heaven? Nay, nor are these things attained by seeing them from afar. For surely, as the seed is nurtured in the soil, and it is warmed by the rays from heaven, and its thirst quenched by the heaven's rain, so that ye too must do it as the seed, and that ye are warmed and nurtured in the soil of thy world. Yea, thou wilt comest and goest in the soils of many worlds. Thou shalt be warmed with the rays of many suns, some of which shineth not in thy time and place. And the rains shall come and quench thy thirst, though they cometh not from thy sky. And all of these things, and many more, will be added unto thee before there is the blossom of spirit, which bringeth forth the fruit, which is thy divine heritage. Yet though it is that as thou bearest this fruit, surely thou shalt taste it of it, and in the eating thou shalt knowest of all the treasures of heaven. Seek ye not therefore things beyond thy time and place, for as these things are yet to be added unto thee, yet they are ever with thee, and thou shalt behold them each in thine own time and place. Yea, verily, even they shall be a part of thee, and no more shall thou be waylaid with the shadows of yesterday. Will this longing holds within my heart, a longing for a long-sought summer day, where home is wrought with fairy beams, with stars to build a chimney top. This earth, a cold place, grows dim and hides itself from whence I look. My tears unwept, held close, become uncounted in the falling rain. But soon I know a golden bark descends to where these sands have held my longing heart. A bark so made in virtue's way, all bound in faith that holds each plank fast. So moved with silken sail and spun from love, each glowing strand, my life in faith held fast.